Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. I want to talk to you tonight about idolatry, because I think there's so many of us that don't realize that we are committing the sin of idolatry, and the Bible has a lot to say about it. Now, I want you to first realize, if the people in the Bible days dealt with idolatry and the worship of idols, it is something that as humans, we are vulnerable to. We cannot think that this can never happen to me. I'm not an idol worshiper. I'm not worshiping idols like the people in the Bible, because a lot of times we see God cutting people off was because of their idol worship. And we are living in a culture with tons of idols. Idols, I-D-O-L-S, everywhere. Things that want us to worship them. Things that want us to praise them. Things that want us to glorify them, to give them our time, our love, and our affection. So we're fighting idols all the time. We're fighting all the time to make sure that God is number one in our life. So this is a very important word. Do not click off. Share this. Because this is a heaven and hell issue. It is. This is an issue of our salvation at stake. If we're worshiping other gods, then we're not going to stand before God and the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We have to make sure that our life is idol free. So that's what this is all about, is how could I walk idol free? I don't want anything in my life. And again, a lot of times we'll destroy our idols, get rid of our old idols and the things that we spend time and love and affection on. But then in our Christian journey, we pick those idols back up. In our Christian journey, we start going back to the very things. Am I preaching to anybody tonight? Let me know in the chat. We go back to the very things the Lord called us out of. And we start worshiping the gods, lowercase g, of this world, giving our time, energy, and affection. And here's what you need to know about the God that we serve. The God of Christianity. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator God that is uncreated, that has all power and all authority. He's jealous over and over. I'm going to show you scripture. We serve a jealous God. And so the enemy wants to distract us with social media, movies, music, our job, relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, our animals, our this, our hobbies, all of these things to erect idols for us to worship, to get us off track what God has for our life. That's what it's about. It's distraction. And tonight we are going to come against that idolatry. We're going to come against that spirit of distraction that is getting us off path, and no longer is our time going to the Lord. Our time is going to other things that don't have eternal value. Now, I'm going to show you tonight, there's nothing wrong with a little entertainment. There's nothing wrong with your hobby. There's nothing wrong with your watching the game. There's nothing wrong with whatever it is. But we move into idolatry when that takes the place of God. When you start putting things, and I'm just saying pastors don't talk about this because I'm not going to say why, but they don't talk about this. We start putting things in the place of God, and now God gets replaced, and we worship idols, and then we give God a night, video games, massive one, massive idol. And then we give God a little bit of prayer at night, a little bit of prayer on Sunday, and we live our lives with no relationship with God, but all these idols that we're bowing down before, that we're worshiping. And I want to make something clear as we go into this. Just because you're not physically bowing doesn't mean you're not spiritually bowing. Like, well, I don't bow down, you know, like physically like they did in the Bible. Yes, but we're bowing down to our phones. We're bowing down in reverence to our jobs, to our hobbies, to our family members. Some of you, your wife's an idol. Your husband's an idol. Your kids are an idol. You can make an idol, I'll show you, out of anything. So we need to be hyper-vigilant that we're not getting involved in idolatry, that we're not getting involved in idol worship. Because the Lord, make this clear, write this down if you're taking notes, He will not share you. He's extremely jealous. He's not going to share you. He's not going to allow you to worship idols and worship Him. The Bible says, worship the Lord your God only. Nothing else is deserving of my worship and my affection. And we're going to see this in the life of Moses, specifically the people Moses is called to lead out of bondage. But here's the backdrop of what I'm going to share tonight. God sees that His people are in bondage, and God raises up Moses to bring His people out of bondage. If your family's in bondage, you don't need a prophetic word. God is raising you up to bring them out. Is God sovereign? Yes. Could God have brought the children of Israel out of Egypt by himself without Moses? Yes, but God continues to use Moses to bring the people out. God continues to use Moses to deliver the people from bondage. So this is what we see. God raising up Moses, God raising up Jeremiah, God raising up Ezekiel. What do we keep seeing through the Bible? God using people. God wants to use you. Stop believing the lie that you are unusable to God. So our goal is allow God to use you. Why do we keep fighting? Why every time God wants to use us to prophesy, we fight him? Why every time God wants to use us to cast out a demon, we fight him? Why every time God wants to use us to lay hands on the sick, we fight him? We got to stop fighting the Lord and say, Lord, raise me up. God wants to raise you up tonight to be a voice. There's not enough voices declaring the works of God. I'm praying God would raise up more voices to speak against the sin of abortion. The worst thing happening in our world right now is abortion, and yet there's so few voices that God that have allowed God to raise them up to speak against it. I told my prayer team today, or the prayer meeting today, every time I speak about abortion, literally, I lose financial partners. People cancel every time because they get offended by it. I lose followers. I lose subscribers. It doesn't matter because I know one of the things God has raised me up to do is to be a voice for the voiceless, and that is partially the unborn babies. So I'm going to keep speaking about it. I'm going to keep calling it child sacrifice what it is. I'm not going to apologize, get mad, get offended, unsubscribe, cancel your partnerships. I'm not moved by money. I'm not moved by donations. I'm not moved by followers. I'm moved by the speaking the word of the Lord with boldness. And so you have to be a voice for God. Guys, you have to be a voice of deliverance in this generation. You got to be the one that God raises up when you see, is everybody not in bondage around us? I mean, come on, guys, let's wake up here. Is our family not in bondage? Is our culture not in bondage? Do you not see, when you go outside, slaves everywhere? I see slavery everywhere. Slavery's all over. People are bound, not just to worshiping their idols, and some of you are bound to idols tonight. You're literally tied to your idols, but they're bound by demonic spirits. They're in bondage. They're hurting. You can just go pull up statistics of suicide and this and that, and you're like, these are spirits binding people. And you were looking around like, wow, what's the Lord going to do about this? Raise you up? There's no plan B. The Lord's going to use you. That's what he did in scripture. Don't buy into the lie like, well, the Lord's sovereign. He'll do what he wants to do. That is not even in the Bible. The Lord uses people. He's sovereign, and he connects his sovereignty to your yes. All through, what, did Jesus have disciples? Jesus, God in the flesh, had disciples. God wants to work with you. Give him something to work with, chat. Give him something to work with. Some of us are so stubborn. Like, Lord, I don't know why you're not using me. It's like, give him something to work with. Say yes. So here's Moses, Exodus chapter 3. He's running. He's hiding. And it says in verse 9, look, the cry of the people of Israel have reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Verse 10, now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. And this is coming out of a burning bush. Moses is getting an encounter out of a burning bush. And the crazy part about it, most people don't know, about the burning bush, is not the bush was burning. Okay, they're in a desert. It was not uncommon for a bush to be on fire. What was uncommon for a bush to stay on fire? Because the bush was it wasn't consumed by the fire. It was burning. And then, of course, it was speaking. God was speaking out of the burning bush. So the goal is not just catching fire. Can you stay on fire? Can you burn for years and years and years? Many people get lit on fire, and that's not a sign and a wonder in itself. A sign and a wonder is how long can you burn without burning out? Burnout is a result of being so busy for God, so busy for doing things for him, you neglect relationship with him. I want to stay on fire. My goal is not to get you guys to catch fire. My goal is to get you to stay on fire. They told me when I got saved, I wasn't eating for days. I didn't eat for about 2 weeks. I didn't sleep for days. Oh, you're going to burn out, brother. The fire is only going to last a little bit longer. And all these pastors, why did so many of these pastors that told me I was going to burn out know about burnout? Why did they know so much about burnout? They were telling me what they had gone through, speaking based on experience, not the word of God. And because they burned out, they thought I was going to burn out. Like, you're going to burn out. Your honeymoon's going to be over. That's a lie from the devil. I want to prophesy over somebody. You will not burn out in Jesus' name. You will stay on fire. You will live on fire. You'll go to your deathbed on fire. You'll breathe your last breath on fire for God. This is not some summer thing, some summer fling, some one-night stand. This is a relationship with God who's in all-consuming fire. And I'm saying burn. Burn. Be wild for God. Do not burn out. Don't get so busy that you burn out. Burnout is also a result of disappointment. When God doesn't do, and I've seen people burn out because of this, when God doesn't do what we thought he was going to do or what we think, let's be honest, what we think he should do, we burn out. But remember Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, his ways are not our ways. So maybe God isn't doing what I thought he was going to do. I thought by now I'd be this big minister. I thought by now, God, all the stuff you told me, Lord, it's like, guys, no, don't let that burn you out. You say, Lord, your ways are not my ways. Maybe I'm not ready for the platform. Maybe I'm not ready to preach on that stage. Maybe I'm not ready to have a big social media page. Maybe I'm not ready to minister to those people. Maybe I'm not ready because you told me years ago I was going to do something great for you and I haven't seen anything yet. And the Lord says, I'm shaping you. I'm molding you. And just be excited about that. Just be like, Lord, okay, I get it. I'm not where I need to be. There's stuff in me you need to break. There's fire that needs to burn away the impurities. I'm not at the place I need to be, but Lord, work on me. And some of you just, you're on the operating table and you keep jumping off and running off and doing your thing. The Lord's like, just let me work on you. Sometimes that work is removing everybody around you. How many of you know when you go into surgery, you're not allowed to have anybody in the room? And sometimes when the Lord's doing surgery on your life and your heart, you can't have anybody in your circle. I lost everybody in my circle. I lost all of my friends because the Lord said, I got to work on you, Isaiah. I got to prepare you for where I'm taking you. And when you don't allow the preparation to happen, you'll end up on a platform, unequipped, unready, and then you'll end up crumbling at an all-time high when you're on a platform you should have never been on because you didn't wait for God to work those things and impurities out of you. I thank God that the Lord worked these things out of me before he put me on a platform. Amen. Let the Lord work. He's doing something in you. Let him work. It might, don't get disappointed if he hasn't done what you think he should do. Also, I'll tell you another thing to burn out the fire, neglecting your prayer life. Prayer is what fills you, fuels you, and keeps you on fire. I get asked this everywhere I travel. You guys have asked me this a million times, and it's like, it's almost choreographed now. You already know what I'm gonna say. Isaiah, how do you stay on fire? What's the number one thing you recommend? Prayer. Well, give me, I've had interviewers tell me like, what do you do? I'm like, just prayer. And like, okay, well, what else? What's the secret? Like, brother, there's no secret. There's no what else. It's prayer. It's getting alone with God. It's getting in the secret place. Why do you want something so complicated? You want me to be like, well, you got to do this, and these seven things, and then you got to jump through this and learn Greek and learn Hebrew and then write a study Bible. It's like, no, brother, just pray. Have a relationship with God and you'll stay on fire. Because every time I get in his presence, fresh fire, fresh anointing, fresh power, fresh touch of God. Okay, another thing I'll tell you that will burn you out is boredom. Boredom comes from reading the word of God, but not doing the word of God. And then you end up living out a counterfeit version of Christianity that you truly don't believe. And you know what's crazy? Everybody knows you around you that you don't believe it because you don't live it. So you're preaching about it, but we can't just hear the word, James 1:22. Don't just listen to God's word. Do what it says. Otherwise, what'd James say? You're only fooling yourself. If you hear the word tonight, if you hear what I'm saying, and you don't actually do what God's word says, and you keep living, you not only do you get hard-hearted, you get bored, you deceive yourself. You fool yourself. Okay, bro, joke's on you. I mean, you have everybody else fooled that you're a Christian, but you're actually not. And sorry to tell you, but joke's on you because you're only fooling yourself. You're only hurting yourself by that. So we need to burn. You're not going to burn out in Jesus' name. So that's a word for somebody. I don't have that all planned, but it's a word for somebody. You're not going to burn out. You're going to burn hotter. You're going to burn brighter. When people get radically saved and they're on fire, I don't even tell them if I don't even try to correct them, right? They say some theologically weird stuff or they're new, they're learning. I'm just like, I'm so afraid of quenching their fire. I'm not trying to throw no water on your fire. I want to throw gas on your fire. Let it rip. Be radical. Be wild. Be very careful when a new believer gets set on fire and you try to quench them because you're quenched. You try to calm them down because you're calm. Like, we don't have to do all that. Never tell a new believer that. Don't tell anybody that, okay? Don't try to make people like you. Let them be on fire. Stoke their fire. Let them be radical. Put the pedal down and say, go harder. I love it. I'm excited about it. Because all these little theological things or maybe some weird stuff they might say. I said a lot of weird stuff when I first got saved. I did a lot of weird stuff. But they'll find their way. They'll find their way. But the worst thing you can do is neuter them, put water on their fire, send them to Bible college. Don't do those things because it gets them discouraged. I'll tell you, I remember when I first got saved, the prophecy was flowing, words of knowledge. I couldn't stop prophesying. Everywhere I went, I was prophesying over people, getting words of knowledge, hearing God clearly. Clearly, I was like, wow, this is amazing. God speaks. I learned in church that God doesn't speak anymore because the pastor who is preaching it doesn't hear from God. So he teaches everybody not to hear from God. But wow, the Bible says that God hears. And the Bible college thing was a joke, but not really. I'm going to explain that to you. God hears. God's people hear his voice. And so I started Bible college, which is great sometimes. Praise the Lord for Bible college. But I want to just point one thing out. I did a class in Bible college about prophecy, all right? So here I am. I'm like, I'm so excited to prophesy over everything. I'm getting download, words of knowledge. It's accurate. And I take this prophecy class. And all of a sudden, there's now, it went from hearing God clear, prophesying, words of knowledge, stepping out, boldness, radical, you know, saying probably some things I shouldn't have said, like words of knowledge I probably should have held to myself. But I was just hearing God. I was new. I was on fire. I was radical. And I kid you not, the longer this class went on, I think it was like a 10-hour class total. The longer this class went on, the harder it was to hear the Lord. The longer the class went on, because here's why. They started putting rules. Well, when you prophesy, you got to make sure that you do this, and you got to make sure you don't say this, and you got to make sure you don't say that, and you got to make sure it lines up with this, and you got to make sure. And I'm like, what are we at the dentist? I mean, there's a million rules. Has to line up here, line up there, Invisalign. I'm like, what is going on here? And so now when I want to give a word, there's a million things in my mind. I'm like, well, maybe it's not. I'm doubting it because I learned this. And what about this? And it's like it quenched that prophetic edge. It quenched that words of knowledge. And that's what happens with a lot of people is they go to Bible college, which there's a lot of great ones, but there's a lot of not good ones. And they start getting quenched. They start losing the fire. They become spiritually dead like their professors, spiritually dead like their pastor, spiritually dead like their leader. And sometimes you just have to let it loose and say, God, I want that fire and I want to stay on fire. So this is the fire that's speaking out, this fire that stays. The fire will stay in Jesus' name. I'm just making jokes as I go, guys. Like the Invisalign, come on, just stay with me here, okay? God speaks and says, go back to Egypt, even though they want to kill you, and tell Pharaoh you're taking my people out. Now Moses, long story short, goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's not very happy. He's like, bro, you're taking my whole workforce. Like, I have free labor. Millions of people, 2.5 million people are working for free. And now you're taking my labor. So no, I'll give you a compromise. He says, you can go, but you have to worship and you can worship your God, but do it here. And Moses comes back, says, nope, I'm not compromising. Okay, you can go and worship, but don't go too far, which is what the devil tells so many of you. Go become a Christian, but don't go too far. He says, no, and I have a whole sermon on this. That's why I'm going fast. He says, okay, you can go, but leave the women and children, which the devil tells you. You can go to church and serve me, but don't bring your wife and kids into it. Don't bring your husband and kids into it. Moses says, no, the fourth compromise is you can go, but leave the animals here. And that was the sacrifice. God wanted the animals to be sacrificed. The devil will tell you, you can be a Christian, but not bring your family. You can be a Christian, but don't go too far. Are you guys tracking what I'm putting out here, what I'm cooking? You can be a Christian, but just do it here in Egypt. Be a Christian in the world. Be a Christian in Egypt. And then lastly, you can be a Christian, but don't sacrifice. And Moses goes, no, we're not compromising. We're not settling. We're bringing our wife and kids out. We're bringing sacrifices with us. We're worshiping. And we're going to worship where we want to worship, how we want to worship. We're coming out. And some of you tonight need to decide you're coming out. I'm coming out. Yeah, I'm seeing the comments. I'm coming out. I'm not staying in bondage. I'm not staying in Egypt. And Egypt was a type of represent an archetype of the world of sin. And now God says, bring them out. Okay. So now the devil's offering compromise. Moses doesn't take the compromises, and there's a plague for each false god that they worshiped. And ultimately, God does supernatural signs and wonders to deliver them. And the people begin to forget where they came from. They forgot what it was like to be a slave. Never forget where you came from. They forgot what it was like to be in bondage. Anybody remember what it was like to feel worthless, to feel depressed? It's so easy. And so now they're forgetting where God brought them out of. forgetting the hand of God on them. And now they're just wandering around and they go, you know what? Just take us back. If we're just going to wander out here, take us back to slavery, not realizing the reason why they were wandering was because of themselves. The issue was not God and the issue was not their pastor Moses. Okay, so let's just track this. If you're wandering, just saying, the issue's not Moses, it's not God, it's them. Here's why they're wandering, not going to the promised land, because they're a bunch of complainers. They're ungrateful, they're idol worshipers, they're complainers, they're negative, they're bitter, they're always arguing, they never want to agree with Moses' theology, and their own complaining kept them from the promised land. Do you know the number one reason why they never went to the promised land and they died? I'm going to show you this in the wilderness was because they were complaining. Guys, how often do we complain? I hate my job. I hate the way my wife does it. I hate the way the pastor does it. I hate the way he's up there with the light. And I hate the lights and the sound. And does everything just murmur? It's like, no, I don't know why no one wants to be my friend. Because you're annoying. Bro, you're always, I just can't stand complainers. That's one type of people I just won't hang out with. If you look at any of my close friends, there's only a few of them. Jared's one of them in the chat. They don't complain. I don't like complainers. I'm not a complainer. I don't hang out with complainers. There's always whining. God, why did you do it this way? God, why haven't you? This is what would happen. In fact, it got so bad, God sent snakes out to bite them when they were complaining and they died and they were dying of sickness. This is something that kept them out. So why would that keep them out of the promise, but you think it won't keep you out of the promise? Why is it that you think you're exempt from this complaining that we see so much? It's easy to complain. Here's why we complain. Because we forgot where God brought us from. Someone said, so Isaiah doesn't like me. I mean, if you're a complainer, I don't want to hang out with you. I like you, Bruce, but if you're a complainer, I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want to hang out with complainers. They're spiritually draining. They drain you spiritually. It's easy to complain when you forgot what God's done in your life. It's easy to complain when you forget how messed up you were. You might have a thousand things wrong in your life, but thank God you're not addicted to crack anymore. You might have all these financial issues, but thank God you're not depressed anymore. You might have nothing going for you, but at least you have the Lord. And you might not be where you want to be, but let's get cliche. Thank God you're not where you used to be. Lord, I'm not where I want to be. And I literally am not. And I'm talking about myself. I'm like, Lord, there's a lot I got to work on. Okay. There's a big to-do list in my spiritual life I need to get done and things I need to work on in my own personal life. And I'm going like, Lord, I'm grateful that although I'm not where I want to be, I'm not where I was when you found me. So here's the lessons. Okay, so now that's the context. I know it was a long 30-minute intro to start the message. The Lord calls them out of the burning bush, go save my people. And these are some of the lessons we learn. And this is actually titled. Listen to the title of this. You know, when they translated in the Bible and all that, they put like titles above chapters of the Bible. They're not there in the original manuscript, but the ones that edited and basically made different translations, they titled this Lessons from Israel's Idolatry. Because if you want to stay in idolatry, this is what's going to happen to you. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1. And before you say, well, this doesn't apply to me. This is just old school, an Old Testament. And this doesn't, watch what I'm about to show you here. 1 Corinthians 10, this is New Covenant, New Testament. Listen to what he says in chapter 10, verse 1. I don't want you to forget. Okay, what did we just learn about? Don't forget where God brought you from. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them. And all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In verse 2, in the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food. Verse 4, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. Okay, so everybody's on the same boat here. They drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them. A rock, the spiritual rock that traveled with them, they drank from it, and that rock was Christ. Literally, Christ traveled with them in the Old Testament, and they drank from him. That's what Paul's saying here. Verse 5, you ready for this? So that sounds amazing. All these miracles, how many of you are like, that's amazing. I would never complain. I would never be mad. Verse 5, yet God was not pleased with most of them. I mean, that's brutal. Hey guys, by the way, God's not pleased with most of us. And I could be in that most. Like, am I in the most? Am I doing the most? It says God was not pleased with most of them and their bodies were scattered all over the wilderness. Verse 6, these things happened. Look at why. Why did these things happen to these people that we're going to talk about and we're talking about tonight? these things happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did. Wow, that is strong. Let me say it again. These things happened, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 10, as a warning to us so we would not crave the evil as they did or worship idols. Hello, somebody. As some of them did. As the scripture said, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Let me say that again. It's not a big deal, brother. It's just pornography. Let me say that again. We must not engage in sexual immorality as they did, some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day due to sexual immorality. It's still going. We're not done yet. Verse 9. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and they died from snake bites. And don't grumble or complain like some of them did, and they were destroyed by the angel of death. So unless you're trying to get a little visit from the angel of death, do not grumble and complain like they did. Verse 11, these things happened as examples for us. They were written down to warn us how to live. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Why are we warned? What was this all for? To warn us. What is this story I'm about to go over for? Why did it happen? It's like, man, that's brutal. The way God killed them, they killed each other and they worshiped idols and the Lord said, I don't want them to be my people anymore. Here's why. To warn us who live at the end of the age. This is a massive red flag, which some of you ladies haven't seen in your boyfriend yet. Anyways, this is a massive red flag to all of us how we shouldn't live. Don't live in idol worship. Don't live in sexual immorality. Don't complain. Three things. Stop complaining. Stop watching porn. And stop worshiping idols. And the Lord's like, those are three big things that kept them out of and made them the way that they are. So let's not do those things. Verse 12, we're going to end on this verse here and then I'm going into what happened here. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. If you think you're all that, be careful because you might fall. So I don't want to live my life, and that's why I'm vulnerable with you guys. I'm always like, I need the altar call. I'm desperate like you guys. I always throw myself in with all of you because I don't want to think I'm so strong lest I fall. Like, oh, I'm exempt. I'll never stumble. Nothing could ever affect me. I'm Isaiah Saldivar. No, don't live that way. That's called arrogance and pride. I mean, who are you, Jezebel? That's prideful. We can't live our lives thinking we're never going to fall. We have to live going, wow, if it happened to them, it could happen to me, and I want to make sure I'm vigilant against this. So now Moses is bringing these people out. Moses goes, okay, it's time. Now I'm going to skip forward. Moses brings the people out now of Egypt, which I already preached about, I don't know, a month ago. Go back on the live tab and you'll find me preaching about the Egyptians chasing them, all that good stuff. Okay. But here's where I want to pick up. If you have your Bible, if you don't have a Bible, use Google. If you don't have Google, use your app. If you don't have an app, a Bible or a Google, then just listen. Exodus 32 verse 1. Okay. We're going to break down what was it that led these people who are beautifully delivered, amen, all of us, what led them to where God said, I'm going to kill all of them? What led them to where God said, I'm done, no more mercy, I'm destroying all of them? Imagine these are the people of God. These are the ones that God has protected and guided and supernaturally delivered. And in a sense, God's done all this work, which of course is not work to God because he's God. And God's like, this thing right here, that they're about to do, that watch this, some of us are doing tonight. Some of us are doing tonight what they're about to do, to where God says, sorry, Moses, we had a good run, but pack it up, I'm killing them all. God says that, I'm destroying all of them. Move out of the way, because I'm done with these people. They will no longer, not only will they no longer be my people, but I'm going to actually destroy all of them, and so I won't have a people anymore. That is how mad God is about idolatry. That is how much God hates idol worship. So here's Exodus 32. Moses is on the mountain. Look what verse 1 says. When the people saw how long. Okay, just for context, Moses is on Mount Sinai. Joshua is at the foot of the mountain. God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments. He's up there 40 days. God's giving them the Ten Commandments. Okay, so that's Moses up there. Pastor's out of town on vacation with his family. Here the people are down in the camp, and the Bible says this in verse 1 of Exodus 32. When the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come down, they gathered around Aaron, who's in charge of them while Moses is gone. They said, come on, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to that fellow Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt. Here's what happens. The moment they're no longer hearing God through Moses, the moment we're not at church hearing our pastor speak the word of God, the moment there's not someone in our life speaking the word of God, something exciting isn't happening, because remember, God would speak through Moses, meet him in the tent, and then Moses would speak to the people. They so quickly decide we're going to turn to other gods. How often do we go to church on Sunday, hear the pastor preach the word of God, and then during the week we turn to idols? During the week we're worshiping the false gods of entertainment, the false god of sports, the false god of music, the false god of entertainment, the false god of pornography, the false god of our hobby, whatever it is. We go on Sunday, and then because God's not speaking, because we have no relationship with him, we go and we start worshiping other gods. Like, oh, Moses isn't here. Our pastor's not around. Guys, we know if our pastor was around, we wouldn't be doing half the things we do. And Moses is out of town. And the moment Moses is gone, the people start saying, isn't it amazing how quickly when God is quiet, we turn to idols? What happens when God takes longer than expected to speak? What happens when God takes longer? Moses is taking longer than we expected. God, you're taking longer than we expected to save our family. God, you're taking longer than I expected for you to send me to the nations. So now that God is taking longer than we expected to do what we thought he was going to do, aka Moses, who's an archetype of Jesus, the greatest deliverer in scripture, now we turn our back on him. What happens when trials come? What are you going to do when adversity comes? I'll tell you, the moment we go through a hard time, we shake our fist at God, turn our back on him, and act like it's God's fault that we're not committed. Acting like it's God's fault that we're not serious about him. Acting like it's God's fault. Well, you're not here speaking to me, Lord. You're not down here leading me, Lord. You're not giving me chill bumps every time. You're not, you know, it's God's fault. You're not praying. You're not reading. And you're not doing what you should be doing. But somehow it's God's fault that he's off in the distance. Like, Lord, you're not with me speaking. The Lord's like, you got to build a relationship. You got to stop being dependent upon your friend that brought you to church. You got to stop being dependent on me. Like, I didn't get a fresh sermon from Isaiah. I don't know if I'm going to make it this week. I might just have to backslide. What? You need a fresh sermon to keep you saved? To keep you on fire? You got to be realize that I got to get my own relationship with God. It's not God's fault. For Judas, the price to sell it was 30 pieces of silver. What is your price? What will it take? Like these people, it only took about 40 days for them. What will it take for you to go back to your idols? The devil's looking for your price. Is it bringing the ex back into your life? Is that what it's going to take to get you to go back to your idols? Is it the new door opening at the job, the new promotion, a new job out of state? And now you're going to go back to your old life of normalcy. You're going to leave the revival, leave the Holy Spirit, leave the move of God, leave what God is doing in your life for a new job that you can't, that you have to work overtime and all these hours. Maybe it's the business you're starting. Is that your price? What is your price? Because most of us have a price. And this is what the devil figured out in Judas. How much till Judas sells out? For Judas, it was 30 pieces of silver, but for you, it might be a new hobby. What is it? Because if you're not, write this down. If you're not sold out, you will eventually sell out. If you're not sold out for God, burned every bridge, God be like, are you going to go back, Isaiah, to what? I have nothing. I don't even know how to be worldly. I don't even know what to do. What do people even do now? Do people still go to the club? I don't even know. People go to bars? I don't know. I don't even know how to talk. I wouldn't fit in. It's like Peter. Peter's at the wrong fire or out in the world. And they're like, you're not one of us. You don't belong here. And what does Peter have to do when he's warming himself around the world's fire to convince all those people he's worldly? He starts cussing. He starts cussing to prove he's a part of the unbelievers. And yet Christians think it's okay to cuss. Mic drop. If you're not sold out, you'll sell out. If you're not sold out, it amazes me how easy people backslide. It shocks me. Someone said, my price is $2. That's low, brother. That's low. It shocks me how easy people are to backslide. And I look at people that were once in ministry, once on fire, once serving, once with me side by side. And now they're back in the world. And I'm like, I'll go on their Instagram. You ever do this just to see what was it? Like, what was it? What was their price? Because I know this guy. He prayed, he fasted, he cast out demons on fire. I saw this guy do a 20-day fast, 21-day fast. This guy lost 50 pounds fasting, and now he's back in the world. You ever do that? And you go on their Instagram, you're like, and you're going like, that's it? They went back for her? They went back for him? They went back for that old, a few dollars, a new job, a $20 an hour? We mock Judas, yet a lot of us sell out for cheaper than 30 pieces of silver. I'm like, bro, you went back to the world just to play beer pong? You went back to that same smelly parties? I have seen pictures of old friends that were saved in ministry with me that are now back in the world, and I'll see a picture of them at a party. I could smell the party. Like, bro, I remember that house we used to party at. It smells bad. You went back to that smelly beer pong party, that sweaty club, that nasty club. It's the same soup, just reheated. Why are we so quick? The moment God isn't doing something flashy, to go back to our idols. What's your price? You better find your price tonight. You better find your prices. What will it be to make me to go back? And you better decide, I'm not for sale. I've already been purchased by the royal blood of Jesus Christ. I will not go back to the culture. I will not go back to the world. Just let the devil know. Let the demons know tonight. You're wasting your time, bro. Jezebel, you could stick around because I'm not giving in, but you're actually wasting your time. Go mess with somebody else. I'm not for sale. This ain't no garage sale. This ain't no estate sale. I'm not for sale. You're wasting your time. I'm not going back. I'm not giving in. I'm not going down that road. Let them know. Let the demons know tonight. I'm not for sale. You can keep trying, but I'm not for sale. Here's the problem. Moses represented God to the people. Because they didn't have their own walk, they said this. Look at what they said in verse 1, and we're still on verse 1. Help me, Holy Spirit. They said this. Where'd this guy Moses go who took us out from Egypt? That's what they said. This guy Moses who took us out of Egypt. Red flag. Moses did not take them out of Egypt. God took them out of Egypt. See, when you have a relationship with God through a person, you look at to the person as if they're the one that healed you. As if they're the one that delivered you. And when they worship, you worship. And when they praise, you praise. And when they go to church, you go to church. And when they don't go to church, you don't go to church. The people thought, pay attention, it was Moses that delivered them. In their words, it was their own words. Yet it wasn't Moses, it was God. Make this clear. Isaiah did not save you. God used Isaiah Saldivar to preach the gospel to you. But it was God that did the saving work, and it was God that spoke through me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God's making an appeal through us, calling people back to himself. Do not get it twisted, ladies and gentlemen. Isaiah did not save you. Well, yeah, I did deliverance. Isaiah delivered me. I know what you're trying to say, and I love you. I did not deliver you. Okay, I might have prayed for you. I might have been a vessel, but it was the Holy Spirit working through me. It was the authority of Christ through me that delivered you. It was the power of God through me. Isaiah laid hands on me and healed me. I didn't heal you. I know what you're trying to say, but I didn't heal you. It was the Lord working through me that healed you. See what I'm saying? When we have a mindset of it's Isaiah's God to me, and I know what you're trying to say. I speak for God and God used me, and that's amazing. And the guy that spoke the gospel to me the first night, January 2011, I got saved. I'm forever indebted to him. I love him. I know him. If he asks me to do anything, I will do it because he was the guy God used to speak the gospel. There's a very special place and a love and an affinity I have for him. And many of you are like that with me, and I love you and I love that. That's awesome. But we have to remember, it wasn't Jason that saved Isaiah. It was the Lord himself using Jason. So I'm not relying on him. If he backslid, it wouldn't change anything. Like imagine this, which God forbid this will never happen. There are people that if I turned away from God, would also turn away from God. That's wrong. If I turn away from God, it shouldn't affect you at all. You should pray for me. Man, that's so sad, and pray for me. Just like any of these other pastors that have fallen. I pray for them, but I'm not going to backslide because Moses isn't around. Or because so-and-so backslide. I have my own personal relationship with God. At some point, it's okay to hear God through a preacher, but I got to get my own relationship. Watch what happens in verse 2. They say, make us gods. This is what they say. Make us gods who can lead us. Verse 2. So Aaron said, watch this. Take the gold rings from your ears, golden earrings. and your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. So the people tell Aaron, make us a god. And this is what happens when you can't see God doing something in the invisible realm. You start worshiping gods that you could see in the visible realm. And so Aaron takes the golden earrings from his wives, the kids, the sons, all of that. He says, bring them to me. Now, why would he use golden earrings to make an idol? Because, pay attention, golden earrings were the most valuable thing that they had. Watch this. Whatever is most valuable to you will always become an idol. Let me say it again. Golden earrings were the most valuable thing that they had. And whatever is the most valuable to you in your life will eventually always become an idol. Gold was valuable. So they said, let's take what's the most valuable to us and let's turn it into a god, an idol, and let's worship it. So ask yourself, what is my god tonight? What is most valuable to me in my life? Because if many of us were honest, we're going to be honest. We're not going to be fake. We're not going to fake it till we make it. All right. If many of us were honest, the most important thing in our life is our job. What's the most valuable thing in our life is our job. The most valuable thing in our life for some of us is our girlfriend. The most valuable thing in our life for some of us is our career. Someone said, is your platform your most valuable thing? Guys, if I lost my platform, I wouldn't lose an ounce of sleep. I kid you not. If I lost my platform, I would be sad, wouldn't lose an ounce of sleep because it's not my platform. The Lord gives and the Lord takes. If the Lord told me tomorrow, shut everything down, go get a job at the sheriff's department. I was going to say Chick-fil-A, but I think I could go get a job at the sheriff's department. All right. I would go do it. Yes, Lord. It's not an idol to me. I don't worship the platform. I don't care about the platform. I don't even want to be on a platform. I wish the Lord would let me just go move to an orphanage in another country and just fall off the earth. That would be my dream. My dream would be never to film again, never on the stage. I don't desire it. I don't like it. I don't want to be recognized. Leave me alone. Let me go be in the middle of a jungle somewhere in an orphanage and just be around and serve. Here's the thing. Anything. This could become an idol. It could. For many people it is. And it could for me as well if I don't keep my heart right with God. Stay humble and say, Lord, I don't ever want any of these things to get in the way. But if my platform becomes more important than the Lord, it has become an idol to me. If my social media becomes more important than my relationship with God, it's an idol. When your career becomes more important, it's an idol. When your family becomes more important, it's an idol. When your car becomes more valuable, it's an idol. When money is more important to you, guys, here's how you know money's become an idol. You get mad anytime anybody asks you to give. You instantly get mad. And you try to say, well, it's the preacher. It's not the preacher. It's the Bible. The Bible says to sow, and if you sow a lot financially, you'll reap a lot financially. That's what your Bible says. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Bible. But the moment the pastor gets up and says, all right, look, we're going to do our tithes and offerings, you're all mad inside. You have a stomach ache. You're irritated when your wife tries to give more. I'm going to tell you why mammon is an idol in your life, and you're mad that somebody is trying to get you to give up your idol. That's the thing. When you start getting an affection for money and this and that, and I know it hurts. I know some of you are going to drop off here. That's fine. Because I'm talking about your idol. I'm talking about your false god. But this is the thing. We have to make sure there's nothing. If I could say God is more important than everything, he's number one, there's nothing more important, then there's no idols in my life. But if there is anything more important in my life than God, he's not my number one, that is an idol. If your wife is your number one and God is your number two, I'm sorry to tell you, your wife is an idol. If your husband is number one and God is number two, your husband's an idol. If your favorite sport is number one and God is number two, your favorite sport is an idol. Fill in the blank. If your video games are number one and you neglect any relationship with God, as someone says, Isaiah, leave me alone. I'm just going, sister. I'm just going. God gave me this word. Then it's an idol. Every other thing is an idol if it's what you worship. Like 40 hours a week at work, and then we struggle to pray 10 minutes. Work is an idol. And you all should work. You know the Bible says a believer that doesn't work is worse than an unbeliever? That's what the Bible says. So you should work, but it shouldn't be an idol. That you could spend 20 hours a week at college and then 5 minutes in Bible study and you're bored. Is God really your God? You have no desire to know him. That's what you have to realize. First commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. I got to go, man. I'm taking so long here. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness in heaven or on earth above or in the waters or under the earth. You shall not bow down to them and serve them. For I, Look at this. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. First commandment. God's giving these commandments to Moses while they're down there making a false god, making an idol, making an idol. Isaiah 45, verse 5. I'm the Lord. There's no other. Apart from me, there is no God. The Bible's like, don't worship idols. Stop. Stop. And I'll tell you, if you don't think you have an idol, I have one right here in front of me. For many people, someone's at my door. For many people, you guys want to see my daughter holding a chicken? For many people, this is an idol. For many people tonight, this is the golden calf. This is what we spend our time, our energy, and affection on. Different days, same idols. Different idols. Oh, I don't know how you want to say it. They're idols. They're idols to us. The Bible says over and over again, Psalms 115, their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they don't speak. They have ears, but they don't see. I'm sorry, they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. Those who make them are like them. So do all who trust in them. If you trust in idols, the Bible says you are like an idol. Idols are powerless. They can't heal. They can't deliver. They can't save. And when you are like an idol, I mean, when you worship idols, you become like them. You become worthless. That is what the Bible says. When you worship idols, you yourself become worthless. So look at this, Exodus 32, verse 3. So they take the most valuable thing. I lost a lot of people. Share the broadcast. It's getting too hot in the kitchen. People are getting out. They're like, I can't take this. I'm on fire. Come back next week when we say talk about blessings. They take the most valuable thing. That becomes the idol. So what is it? The most valuable thing becomes the idol. Watch this. And I just want to make something clear. There's nothing wrong with golden earrings. There's nothing wrong. They're innocent. They're not wrong. But things that are innocent can easily become idols if we let them. So we're like, well, it's not an idol because it's not sin. It doesn't have to be sin. It doesn't have to be dark to be an idol. You see that? There's nothing wrong with golden earrings, but there's wrong. It's wrong when that becomes an idol. Verse 3 of Exodus 32. All the people took gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. And then Aaron took the gold. Aaron is a piece of work. Seriously, Aaron, what are you doing over there, bro? You're drinking way too much wine. Took the gold, melted it down, and molded it. This is what Aaron did. Molded it into a shape of a calf. Aaron shaped God, and Aaron's like most pastors, to fit the image they wanted. They wanted a God who isn't speaking, who isn't moving, and so we now make a God in our image rather than serve the God that made us in his image. This is what most churches do. They make a God for themselves that's comfortable. They make a God, they fashion a God that they like, that doesn't judge sin, that doesn't talk about hell, that doesn't require anything. Because Moses is on the mountain, we can make a God in our image. Because it's easier to worship idols that don't talk than to serve a God that talks and convicts us and makes us accountable. It's easier just to worship an idol. So this idol doesn't tell us to fast, doesn't require us to pray, doesn't require us to read. He's easy. He's fake. He's plastic. He's synthetic. He's American Church Jesus Incorporated, and he doesn't require anything. It's like, just pray the sinner's prayer, which isn't in the Bible, and just sit on Jesus's lap and do whatever you want. Once saved, always saved. Garbage theology. And you can live like the devil. You can live in sin. You don't have to have any works. It's not about works, brother. You could just do whatever, live for yourself, and one day God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's false. That's a false God. That's not in the Bible. That's not what the scripture teaches. This is a God we've made in our image. It's so easy, easy, easy. What did Jesus say about that God? Easy is the way that leads to destruction. What did he say? Difficult is the way that leads to life. Narrow is the road, and few will ever find it. We have customized Jesus like he's some type of Build-A-Bear to make him how we want him. I don't really like deliverance. Let's not add that. I don't really like miracles and tongues. Let's not add that. I don't really like conviction. Ugh, I don't want that. Sin. Ooh, hell. I don't want that. Marriage, man and woman. I don't like that. Homosexuality, that's not in the Bible. Let's take that out. It's fine. Do whatever you want. This is demonic, ladies and gentlemen. This is the demonic doctrine of the American church that just says do whatever you want. This is what the people wanted. Verse 4. Look how dumb these people are, literally. When the people saw it, they exclaimed, oh, Israel. These people are, whoo. This is what they said in verse 4. These are the gods who brought us out of the land of Egypt. Guys, This is a golden calf, a little baby calf. Not even a cow, it's a calf. Like, bro, at least make a cow, an ox. It's a little calf. And they go, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. How quickly we forget. How quickly we convince ourselves that these idols can deliver us. Isn't it amazing the things we trust in for deliverance? Let me prove it to you. You look at video games as your deliverance from boredom. I'm bored and the video game will deliver me from boredom. It's my idol. What do we look to alcohol to? We look to alcohol to get rid of, put us in a state where we're not stressed anymore. It's our escape. It's our savior. Alcohol is saving me from, I'm shy, and so now I'm no longer shy, and I'm bored, I'm no longer bored, and I'm not outgoing, and I'm not fun, and I don't laugh, and I'm not, so alcohol will be my savior, and we look at the bottle and go, this is gonna save me. This is gonna save me from depression. Are y'all hearing me? Are you guys getting this? This is gonna save me from anxiety. We look at the marijuana and go, this is my God that delivered me. Look at this joint. Look at this joint that delivered me. How stupid are you? How stupid are you that you look at a bottle of Grey Goose and say, this is what's going to set me free from my relationship issues. Honey, that's what caused your relationship issues. And you're looking at the bottle as if that's what delivered you. How'd you get free from it? Oh, from drinking. How'd you get free from, oh, from video games. How'd you get free from depression? Oh, from sports. No, it wasn't sports. Wasn't video games, wasn't alcohol. Those aren't my gods. It wasn't a pill. It wasn't a pipe. It was the Lord. So we look at them as dumb because they were looking at the golden calf. Like, that's who delivered us. But we do the same thing. We look at our pills and go, this is little pill is what's going to deliver me from anxiety and depression. How stupid can we be thinking that's going to deliver us? It's only the Lord that will deliver us. They were looking at the wrong things, convincing themselves that's what it was that delivered them. It gets worse, by the way. Verse 5. I'm almost done. Kind of. 5 more Pentecostal minutes. Verse 5. Aaron. I want to call him Airhead Aaron, but I won't. Aaron saw how excited the people were. So he built an altar. He built an altar in front of the calf. Then he announced, tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord. Uppercase L. Aaron is so delusional. Now, it's one thing to make an idol and worship it. I mean, it's dumb, but we all do it. It's dumb, but we all do it. Okay, it's one thing to make an idol and then worship it. It's another thing when you sacrifice to the idols that you made. You made an idol, and then you lay down a sacrifice. So dumb. He says, we're not only going to worship it, we're going to sacrifice to it, and we're going to do it unto the Lord. We're going to do it unto the Lord. See, here's the thing. A lot of us do this. We have no problem sacrificing 4 hours or 6 hours a day on TikTok. We have no, and God forbid we prayed 15 minutes. We have no problem sacrificing $1,200 for a new TV, a new 4K, 8.6K, Blu-ray, Death Ray, 3D, LED, LCD, OCD, ABC, EFG, LGBT. I don't know. Okay, it's a little joke there. No problem spending $1,200 on that. But then the pastor's like, hey, we're really trying to do this mission work. We're trying to buy a refrigerated truck to feed the homeless. Oh, how dare he. But see, we sacrifice. We sacrifice for things that are gods that don't matter. Our television, for a lot of us, is an idol that delivers us from boredom. And we sacrifice to that idol. Not the same way they did, but we all have built altars. That was funny. I might have to clip that. We all have built altars to these false gods. Right? We wake up super early to make sure our hair is done, our makeup's done, our shower is done. Hopefully none of you men are waking up early to get your makeup done. Some of you are, but we're going to get you saved tonight. And all these things, but we don't want to wake up early and pray. Go to bed really late on the phone with him or her, but God forbid we sacrifice time for God. See this? We sacrifice for our false gods. We sacrifice for our false idols. That's how dumb they are, and that's how dumb we are. But then he says, and tomorrow will be a festival of the Lord. He's so delusional. He thinks that God is pleased with their idol worship. We're going to worship idols unto the glory of God. You see this? We're going to worship idols to the glory of God, and we're going to do it in the name of God. We're doing it in the name of him, right? It's like, I'm doing this for you, Lord. I'm doing this for you 12 hours a day for you, Lord. I'm worshiping idols for you. doing them, watching TikTok for you. All glory to you, Lord. And he's doing idol worship in the name, I wish I had more time for this, in the name of God. Verse 6. The people got up early the next morning to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. After this, they celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. I don't even know what that means. They did something bad. They acted like pagans. This is what happens when you worship idols and place things before God. Your lifestyle becomes pagan. You start acting like everybody else, and because you worship the same God everyone else worships. Let me say it again. I'm preaching tonight strong. You start living and acting like everyone else because you worship the gods that everybody else worships. Everybody else worships lust, and I worship lust, so now I'm living like a pagan. Everybody else worships celebrities, now I worship celebrities, I'm living like a pagan. Everybody else worships their career, I worship my career, I'm living like a pagan. Everybody else wants their kid to serve corporate America and to get a 9-to-5 and do all that stuff, and that's what I want, I'm living like a pagan. When you start indulging and worshiping the gods the world worships, you start living like the pagans. Some of you are living like pagans. You're getting involved in debauchery and feasting and drinking and dancing and offering things to gods and sacrificing to false idols and not realizing it. You're acting like a pagan, but the Lord called you out of that light into his marvelous light. Here these people are. And watch what God says in verse 7. We're going to go long here, but a lot of scripture, but stay with me. Verse 7. We're almost done. Then the Lord told Moses, quick, go down to the mountain. The people who you brought from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. How quickly, look at this, how quickly they've turned away from me and the way I've commanded them to live. They melted down gold. God is telling Moses this. They've melted down gold and made a calf, and they're bowing down and sacrificing to it. And then God tells Moses, they're saying, these are our gods that brought us out of the land of Egypt. Verse 9, then the Lord said, I've seen how stubborn and rebellious they are. Now leave me alone so my anger can blaze against them. I'll destroy them all. Then I will make you, Moses, a great nation. Verse 11. But Moses tried to pacify the Lord. Lord, why are you so angry with them? You're the one that brought them out by your strong hand. Why would you allow the Egyptians to say their God rescued them only with the evil intention to slaughter them in the mountains and wipe them from the earth? Lord, turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you've threatened against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You bound yourself. You said you'll make your descendants more than the stars, and I'll give them this land, and they'll possess it forever. And then look what happens. Moses is pleading with the Lord. God, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I know you should destroy them. I know they deserved to be destroyed, but don't do it, Lord. Verse 14, are you guys ready? Some of you, you're not going to like this if you're real religious. Verse 14. So the Lord, I felt the Holy Ghost. So the Lord changed his mind. Let me say it again. So the Lord, verse 14, Exodus 32, verse 14. So the Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster that he threatened to bring upon his people. Think about how powerful this was for Moses to literally intercede and say, Lord, I know you should destroy America. We're a wicked nation. We're an evil nation. We're a nation that's murdered 70 plus million babies. We're a nation where in 6 states right now, a baby could be killed up until 9 months. We're a nation that is evil, that is wicked, that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-everything. But Lord, there's a remnant here. You've made a promise that you'll bring revival. You've made a promise to your ancestors. Lord, your people are here. That's intercession. God, I know my kids deserve your judgment. Lord, I know my kids, they deserve hell, but I'm going to stand in the gap. And what if the Lord changes his mind? And instead of pouring out unprecedented judgment on America, he pours out unprecedented revival. What if the Lord says, in the moment where the Lord says, judgment, 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 God says, I'm going to pour out revival because I have a Moses, I have a Noah, I have an intercessor that says, Lord, don't do it. Remember your oath. Some of you need to remind God, Lord, you said you'd save my kids. Remember what you promised me, Lord. You changed the mind of God. There's multiple places where God changed his mind because a human being said, Lord, remember your people. Remember your people. Intercede. Verse 15. Then Moses turned and went down the mountain and held his hands, the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant that were inscribed front and back. These tablets were the work of God, and God wrote on them himself. Verse 17, then Joshua heard a loud noise and people shouting. They're going down the mountain now. They're going to go back to the camp. He told Moses, It sounds like they're at war. Look at this. It sounds like there's a war in the camp, Moses, verse 17, verse 18. But Moses replied, no, it's not a shout of victory, nor the wailing of defeat. It's a party. He says it's a celebration. They're having a party. Joshua thought they were having a war and they were at battle. But Moses said, they're not at war. They're partying. Church, if we're not careful, we could think that we're at war and we're at battle and we're in spiritual warfare, but really just be celebrating and worshiping false idols. If we're not careful, we could think that with all of our shouting in the church, with all of our screaming in the church that we're doing warfare. Joshua thought they were doing warfare. Moses said, it's not warfare. They're partying around false idols and worshiping false idols. What if that's what we're doing in the church? What if we think that we're these mighty spiritual warriors shouting, oh, strongholds come down. But because of the idol worship in our hearts, all we're doing is dancing around false idols. Saying we're at war, but just having cute conferences, cute events, cute potlucks. And the demons have been dancing with us for years and we're not even fighting them. We're serving false gods and false idols. Verse 19, when they came near the camp, Moses saw the gold calf and the dancing and burned with anger and threw the tablets on the ground and smashed them at the foot of the mountain. Moses had righteous anger. I'm praying that righteous anger would come back to the body of Christ. I'm praying that we'd get so fed up with the sin in our life, we would say, I hate this sin. I'm so tired of this. I'm angry. Let me ask you a question. We're going to close soon. When are you going to be so angry towards your sin instead of angry towards the people that call out your sin? When are you going to be so mad and say, I'm not going to be mad at preachers that preach against my sin. I'm going to be mad at the sin in my life and I'm going to turn from it and repent of it. Because that's the bottom line. Don't be mad at me. Some of you are mad at me. Oh, I don't like Isaiah. Get mad at yourself. Get mad at your own self. Get mad at your own hand that's doing what it shouldn't be doing with you. Get mad at your own eyes and your own this and your own that. Get mad at your own lust. Get mad at your own addiction. Get mad at your own anger. All I'm doing is arousing your own sin that you know is there. And I'm making you mad because I'm telling you what you know is true. And God wants to heal you and deliver you tonight. And you're in love with your sin. You're in love with your idols. And Moses was mad. And Moses broke up the idol and made them drink the idol. Made them drink the idol. And that's why 2 Kings 17:15 says, when you worship idols, you become worthless yourself. The idols consume them. And then Moses said, now you're going to consume the idol and made them drink the idol. Probably didn't taste good. Probably didn't taste like no Chick-fil-A sweet tea drinking up that golden calf. Finally, he turned to Aaron and said, what did these people do to you to make you bring such terrible sin upon them? And this is Aaron's reply. And we're going to close here. We got way too much. All right. This is Aaron's reply. He says, the people came to me and said, make us gods that will lead us. We don't know what happened to Moses who brought us. And verse 24, he says, so I told them, whoever has gold jewelry, take it off. And when they brought it, he goes, Moses, all I did was I threw it in the fire and out came, Aaron, what? Out came a calf. He goes, I didn't do anything, Moses. I just threw the gold in the fire and the calf came out, which he's obviously lying. He's blame shifting and he's not taking accountability for his idol worship. Here's the bottom line tonight. Stop making excuses and take accountability for your idols. Yeah, you're right, Isaiah. Just get them all tonight. Get all your idols together. Put some in this arm, some in this arm. You're right, Isaiah. These are my idols. I made these idols. I'm an idolater. I worship idols. Here, let me put my phone in my arm here. That's my cute daughter, so cute. These are my idols here I'm bringing tonight. I'm not blaming anybody for it. My wife didn't make me worship my phone. My wife didn't make me worship my career. My wife didn't make me worship my video games. My wife didn't make... Some of you just put your brand new PS5 in your arms. Go ahead. Come on. You can do it. Unplug it. I know it hasn't been unplugged in a while. You've been neglecting the kids because you're over there playing Call of Duty all night long, dropping in with the boys. You're 40 years old. You're not 16 anymore. Put the Doritos away in the Mountain Dew. Become a man now. All right? What did Paul say? When I became a man, I put away childish things. Am I just trying to lose followers? I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, I'm like, am I trying to get people not to listen to me when I preach like this? Just put it in your arm. Put the PC in your arm. Put the MacBook in your arm. Put your idol in your arm and just say, these are my idols. I'm not going to blame shift. I'm not going to put the accountability on anybody else. I'm the one that's worshiping them. And here's what Moses said. He says, now, basically, Lord, forgive their sins. But here's Moses' last thing. He said, choose who you're going to serve. Choose today. Pick a side. Pick your side, he said. He stood at the entrance and shouted, "All who are on the Lord's side, come and join me." And the Levites gathered around him, the ones that were set apart. That's what we're ending with, is Exodus 32, verse 26. I'm shouting to you tonight. Well, my voice hurts, so I'm not going to shout. But here's what Moses said. All of you who are on the Lord's side, come here and join me. We have to choose tonight, whose side are we on? We have to choose tonight, whose side are we on? Are we going to serve our idols and the gods of this world? Or are we going to say, Lord, I want to serve you only. Father, we pray right now in Jesus' mighty name, God, that you would reveal the golden calves in our life. God, you would reveal the idols in our hearts, the idols in our lives, the idols in our marriage, the idols in our family. Lord, reveal it to us tonight in Jesus' name. We're tired of being idol worshipers. We're tired of serving the gods of this world. We're tired of doing things we know we shouldn't be doing. God, I pray tonight, show us. And don't just pray your idol out. Get rid of your idol. I'm just going to pray my idol out. No, you're not. You're going to get rid of it. Moses made them drink it. Now, don't go drink it. Don't go burn up your phone and drink it. You'll get sick. A lot of microplastics. Don't do that. But get rid of your idol. It might be for a season. When I got saved, I had a whole bunch of idols. The Lord said, get rid of them. Video games, movies, music, all of it was idol. Got rid of all of it. My girlfriend was an idol. Got rid of her. I had to. Sorry, you're an idol. I mean, I didn't tell her that, but really, it was like, I can't be with you anymore. You're an idol in my life. You're going to have to get rid of it. It's not just praying. It's not just, God, deliver me. You don't need deliverance from these things. You need discipline to say, I'm getting this out of my life. I'm done worshiping idols. I'm done being so wishy-washy, flaky, where the Lord doesn't speak right now, I'm going to leave. No, I'm not going to leave. Lord, you don't have to ever speak to me ever again. I'll still serve you. I mean, the cessationists don't even believe God speaks and they serve him. They never hear God because they don't even believe he can speak anymore. How much more should we, who knows God speaks and God speaks to us, how much more should we serve him? Lord, I only want to serve you. Some of you need to take a break. Yeah, you need to take a break from your phone. Yes. Praise the Lord, Cody. You need to take a break. Some of you need to take a break from the controller. It doesn't mean it's an idol, but is it taking God's place? Is it number one in your life? Are you spending more time doing that than just knowing God? And I don't mean you have to spend more time praying than doing that, but is it hurting your relationship with God? Is it so valuable to you that you get offended every time somebody talks about it? Is it so valuable to you that you're neglecting Christ, neglecting worship? First commandment, do not serve any other gods. Serve the Lord your God only. Serve the Lord your God only. Lord, I pray tonight. This is what I'm praying. I'm praying, Lord, you would illuminate idols in our life. I'm praying you'd expose idols in our life. Some of you, the way you're going to destroy your idol is you're going to do it less. You're going to do it less. Make it where it's not an idol. Hey, there's nothing wrong with this, but I'm going to make you not an idol anymore. So I'm cutting back. I'm cutting back because I can't have this as an idol in my life. I can't have anything in my heart, in my mind, in my life that's going to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Lord, remove these idols in my life. Get rid of these idols in my life. God, cleanse me. Search my heart. Crypto might be an idol. Yeah. Coffee might be an idol. Is that what delivers you? Is that what you run to? Is that your refuge? Is that your safe place? It's fine, drink coffee, but run to God for your refuge and then drink coffee while you're in God's arms, okay? But when things become, we're so obsessed, when it's like all I could think about, it's like, oh, it might be becoming an idol. It might be becoming an idol. Someone said, no, not coffee. Hey, whatever it is, if it's coffee, if it's a golden calf, it doesn't matter. What is your golden calf? Lord, help us tonight in Jesus' name. Cleanse us from idolatry. Convict us, Lord. Convict us, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Help us, God, to say no to these things we run to. Pornography can 1,000% be an idol. 1,000% your TV can be an idol. I can't even explain it. These things will destroy you. If you're spending hours and hours and hours, it'll destroy your calling. The Lord's like, I had this great calling for you, but you spent 10 hours a day watching TV. You spent 10 hours a day in front of this. You spent 12 hours a day playing video games. Let me ask you this. How could you fulfill the call God has in your life if you're spending hours, 8 hours a day playing video games? And I used to play video games before I was saved like that. I used to play World of Warcraft all night long. All those games, I played them. Halo 3, all night, all day. That was my life. I was living it. I was obsessed. I was addicted. And the Lord's like, you got to give it up. You got to give it, especially because I have an addictive personality. I had to give it up. How could I, if I started playing video games 8 to 10 hours a day, how could I do what I'm doing right now? How could I preach and declare the word of God and do what God's called me to do? So again, in moderation, a lot of these things are innocent. Golden earrings aren't wrong. They're not sin. But when you make them an idol, they become sin. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless your people, and Lord, help them to destroy their idols tonight. Help them destroy their idols tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, we don't want to idolize these things anymore. We don't take the desire from us, Lord. We don't want our idols. We're getting rid of them. We're burning them. We're throwing them out. In Jesus' name, help us. Help us, Lord, to not worship these video games. Help us not to worship the things of this world. Our iPhone, God, help this not to be an idol in our life, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name. Food could be an idol, yes. We run to that. We don't run to God. We run to food. We're addicted. We're addicted. Help food not to be an idol in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jared and Candace will be doing prayer and worship, which is why I don't go super long, because they're going to be doing like literally an hour of prayer and worship. And by the grace of God, they do this every Monday and Tuesday after my show. I love that they have prayer and live worship because it gets you guys in there. They'll start in about 10, 15 minutes. I'll go have dinner with my wife and kids before I put my kids to bed. But I want you guys to pray about sowing. We cannot do this without you guys. You guys literally support us. We don't have any sponsors on our videos. Like I said, I'm speaking out against abortion, all these things. Every time I do, people cancel. It is what it is. This is going to prevent us from getting sponsorships, partnerships, all of that. I do not preach a popular message. It is popular online because people are tired of hearing the fake. That's why. It's amazing that we have 1,800 people on here right now between Facebook and YouTube. It's amazing. Who would have thought? Preaching this strong. People are hungry for truth. They've gone so long without the truth. They're hungry for it. They're hungry for it. Yeah, I game 30 hours straight. I used to game for literally 10, 20 hours. RuneScape, World of Warcraft, Halo. I would play hours and hours. I was so addicted. Frying my brain. Turning my brain into spaghetti noodles. Pray about partnering with us. Pray about partnering with us here. The links are there. Become a monthly partner on our website. You'll get 70 sermons. You'll get invited to the Thursday at 1:30 p.m. prayer calls. You'll get 20% off the merch store. You'll help us keep getting the message out. It's not popular in the world we live in. They do not want our voice to be heard. They do not want the message we're preaching to be out there. But we're going to keep putting it out. We're going to keep posting. We're going to keep getting banned, but it's fine. And you guys help us put that out. We are supported by the viewer. All of our content is free on YouTube. The way we survive is you guys. So please, if you are blessed tonight, if you're convicted, if God spoke to you, sow into the word. Sow where you grow. Where should I give? Where you grow. Sow where you grow. So there's the links. You can give one time on Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, Cash App, website. It's all there. It's all there. All right? It's all there. Come on, chat. Work here. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to use the one on screen. All right. And just a reminder, the Alabama and Georgia event has been moved to October 11th through the 13th. If you missed that, it's moved. October 11th through the 13th. Go to my website. It's there. I apologize. I got really, really sick. It is what it is. I'm so, so, so sorry if you flew out or drove out to those events. I apologize. Tomorrow night, we have Jonathan Kahn, the legend himself, on the podcast. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock, all 1,800 of you that are on here, come back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. He's going to be sharing a strong prophetic word. You already know Jonathan Kahn. He's up in the heavenlies. His prophetic words, he'll be like, September 14th was the day of this, and Exodus 42 marks the day of when Joe Biden, he already know, he's going to come out with some powerful, can't make this stuff up. His prophetic words are legit. They're on point. They're powerful. So make sure you're here tomorrow night when he's on the podcast. Guys, just so you know, we do this for you guys, okay? We do this for you guys. We're on here teaching, preaching, doing these podcasts. You don't have to pay for them. If you can't afford it, don't give. If you can't afford to give, don't give. But if you can afford it, so, because we're doing them for you guys. You guys keep us going, but we're doing it to minister to you guys, to bless you guys, and praise the Lord. Thank you, Patty. I'm glad. Just the testimonies, guys, keep me going that you guys share. It's been a long time we've done this, 5 years. Next year will be our sixth year of doing this. December will mark 5 years of doing this, right? And we're just doing it by faith. And we're just, it's up and down. The subscriber count blows up. Then it goes down. Then it goes up. Then the monthly partnership goes up. Then it goes down. Then it's all over. It's just live by faith, guys. We're just rolling with it. We're doing our best. And we're trying to We're trying to keep putting the word out and see souls saved. See souls saved. I'm not sure what Chime is, but I'll look into it. All right, there's Carl for all of you asking about him. There you go. For all of you asking about Carl. My 9-year-old daughter got baptized at the Yakima Revival. Praise the Lord, Brianna. That's amazing. That's amazing. The map, guys, every single day, we're adding people, we're taking people away, we're changing criteria, we're working on it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of people. So we've been saying over and over again, if you're not active, we need to take you off the map. Please email us. If you're not active, we need to take you off. So we're doing our best. We're going to work on doing more in-person podcasts. It's just a lot of work to get people to fly them out and all that. It's just a lot of work. You missed the dove. There he is. There's the Jesus pigeon right there. Jared's link. Yeah, I'll share that. The stream will automatically take you there when it's done, but this is the link here. There's Jared's link to where we're going to be going after, okay? Please give, guys. I don't want to sound like a beggar because I'm a believer, not a beggar. But we do need your support. All right, we do need your support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll read all the donations off stream and all that stuff, but I'm going to stay on a little bit longer here with you guys. Carl needs a friend. Glad you're feeling better. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I was feeling terrible. I was having like vertigo, motion sickness, dizziness. I don't know what was going on, but thank you guys for your prayer. I love you guys so much. And again, I apologize. I wasn't there. Don't dine and dash. Amen, Esther. Don't dine and dash. Thank you, sister. Oh, I just accidentally clicked Zoom here. Hello. 6 p.m. Pacific time. Yes, if you can afford it, please donate. All the links are there. What you guys are asking about, Venmo, Cash App, it's all there. It's on screen. It's in the link. It's in the description. It's in the comments pinned. Just click it. You got this. Is it biblical to start your own outreach if your church doesn't have one? Yeah, start it. Why would you not be able to start an outreach? Thank you for God using your preaching to ignite that fire in me. Thank you so much, Angela. I appreciate it. Is that a honeycomb behind your neon sign? My son says, let's see, hold on. My chat is hold on. I say yes, it is a honeycomb, but it's not a honeycomb, but it's a light. It's a, what is it called? See my hand in it in the reflection? It's a honeycomb light diffuser for my light that's diffused. So yeah, it's a light diffuser. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, and guess what? I know you guys don't know this, so this is going to be news for some of you, all right? I know you haven't heard about this yet. This is a huge announcement. What I'm about to show you is going to shock many of you faithful followers and givers and all that. But this book your boy wrote comes out in November. I know you didn't know about it. Second week in November, right after the election. We got to cast those demons out. How to cast out demons. Everything you need to know about deliverance. 250-something pages. Lots of work to do this book. It comes out in November. Pre-order on Amazon now in the description. Yeah, see that? I know you guys didn't know. I haven't shared about it or anything. I'm going to be posting about it a lot more. All right, thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys for pre-ordering. Your book is going to be good. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys. Okay, let's see what else. We'll hang out for a little bit before Jared and them go live. Can you read a page from it? I don't want to spoil it. Congrats. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Proud of you, Isaiah. Thank you. Pre-order too. Thank you. This isn't biblical. What? A dove on screen or what? What is that? I was waiting for somebody to say something. All right, bro, I'll repent for being a dove owner. What was that? Okay, so I'm glad you asked. I was just doing that so you would notice. This is a portable, if any of you like preach or do worship or anything, get one of these. It's a portable humidifier. So earlier my voice was like super dry and hurting. And when I'm done preaching, my voice gets real dry. This is just a humidifier. I love how only like 3 people said something when I casually use that. Repent. Thank you, brother. I will. I repent every day. Praise the Lord. We all need to repent. Amen. Was that a vape? No. It's a humidifier, a personal one. Check these out. They're amazing. A pastor told me about it. Life-changing. I just wanted to see if anyone was going to say anything. Just messing with you guys. Please, this isn't Jesus. You're right. I'm not Jesus. I'm Isaiah Saldivar, and this is Carl the Dove. All right. Jared and Candace are about to go live. There you go. Isn't that a pigeon? Yeah, it's a pigeon. There you go. There's the link. It's a humidifier. It's not a vape. I would never vape. Come on, guys. Come on. Yeah, it helps my voice a lot. Thank you, thank you, thank you guys for pre-ordering. I love when people come in here like false teacher, like they think they're going to do something. Like, bro, you're not doing anything but making yourself look like you're 11 years old. Shout out to all the 11-year-olds, by the way. It's not a vape, guys. Someone said repent for vaping. It's a humidifier. It's literally mist that makes your throat moist. You saw the voice changer? Yeah, I should probably use that soon. It's a huge vape. Come on, guys. I mean, I guess, humidifier. What's the brand? It is expensive, but if you do voice stuff, it's necessary. It's called My Pure Mist. A pastor told me about it, and it's really been helpful. My Pure Mist. I'm not sponsored. Oh, did anyone in the chat repent for vaping? Yes. Quit bullying my man, guys. It's all good. It's fun. It's all fun. It's all love. I love your passion for Jesus. Thank you, Michelle. Yes, if you're a preacher or a worship leader, get one. Like I said, they're pricey, but they help so much. You should do your dramatic. Oh, no. Yeah, I do that a lot. Your videos make demons manifest. Amen. That, I thought it was a nebulizer. I have a portable one for asthma. No, it's not a nebulizer. It's a humidifier. Can you use it for breathing treatment? I don't know. All it does is it's like a humidifier, right? You put it in your room so your voice isn't all dry. It's just like a portable one that works good. I use it after and before I preach, and it helps tremendously. Supernatural humidity for you. Thank you. Preaching machines need air too, guys. I was going to start the stream using it just so you guys are like, what in the world? But I was like, no. Maybe it is a nebulizer. I don't know the difference. I just know it's a portable humidifier. That's what it's called. So maybe they're the same thing. No, it's not a CPAP. It's not oxygen. None of that, guys. All it does is it takes water, vaporizes it, turns it into steam, and makes your voice not dry and cracky. That's it. Thank you guys for buying the book. Can I have a shout out? Shout out to RandomGuy482. Pickleball is going good. Pickleball is going good. That's too funny. They're picking at you tonight, Isaiah. It's all fun. I love it. I don't mind. I have one in there. Great. Yeah, awesome. All right, Jared and Candace are live. Let's go over there and show them love. Here you go. Facebook, go over there. YouTube, go over there. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. I'll see you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for sowing, giving, partnering, giving monthly, all that good stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you guys. I'm going to go eat dinner with my family. Salute, soldiers. I love you guys. See ya. Bye. You guys are awesome. Bye, all you nebulizers. You Holy Ghost-filled nebulizers. Nebulizers, goodbye. What was your childhood name from your family? Smiley.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.